Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. I am profoundly grateful you chose to be with me on this gorgeous February 10th day, 2018. And we're going to look at input. That's all I could think of for this one. I get a lot of different questions. It's kind of potpourri, and I thought we'd just do it this way and enjoy the questions. And I hope they're helpful to you. If you are enjoying our program, which I hope you are, you know and have to understand that we have to pay for this, and it is only through your tax-deductible gift that we are allowed to do so. So if you are feeling like, Greg has something to say and it kind of helped me, I hope you will consider being a sponsor and helping us sustain our radio program as well as our TV offerings on our website at aspire.org. Yes, we have TV. So if you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see a little menu thing that says support, the word everyone hates, and you just click on that, a drop down menu will come down and say, why support Aspire? Which I think is a good question in this day and age, and it will explain everything you need to know about Aspire, what we do, how I work, your tax deductible gifts, and all of the goodies that you get for being a sponsor. One of the goodies is 122 discourses I did throughout the years on all of the TV programs that I've done. And there is a ton of TV on there, just a ton of TV. And you will see, well, like right now, Gibran is showing our programs that I did years ago on Cahil Gibran on The Prophet. And you can go and download those. You get the message of the month. You get the podcast, video cast, and commentaries, and all in all, a great deal of wonderful things for you if you join our sponsorship, and I hope you will, and help us sustain my efforts. I work very diligently and very long and hard hours to make all this happen, and the last key thing is your support. Wouldn't you know it? Jeez. People hate that. They really do. But, you know, it's a fact of life, and we have to be grown up, mature enough, put on our big boy pants and face it. And hopefully you'll help. Greg, this is from Jess in Colorado. What is the most important thing in this world, in your opinion? I am so confused by politics and science, Jess. Well, Jess, politics is a dead-end street. Don't even go there. I wouldn't even consider going there. It's the stupidity of those who place a lot of importance in it. It does have a lot to do with our daily life in the sense of our income. All they want is your money. So don't get involved in all of that. Okay. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And I have my opinion about politics and everything. And I love you enough, even though I've never met you, not to give you that. So I'm not going to go there. As far as science is concerned, we are learning and growing and maturing in science, and it's getting hopefully a lot better. But then again, you've got the corporations, and Pharmaca sets a standard of what's important based on income. So money, again, playing a role in that. You wouldn't want to get people to, you know, live too long or have a life that was healthy, because if you do that, then they live longer, and we don't get the cycles going like we need to of entertainment and gadgets and things like that. So there's a lot to be considered there. So what is left? You know, we don't know how to live on this planet very well. We really don't. We don't know how to live here with any sense of intelligence or kindness. We really don't. We have a real hard time with those kind of things. Intelligence, kindness, compassion. So we don't really know what to live for. We take the things that people like myself give and render them unto the idea that it's just a philosophy. But really, it's not. It's a way of life. It's the way you live in this world, and how I live in this world really matters. And if I don't live well in this world, then I don't live well. And I'm not talking about money and objects and comforts. I'm talking about being aware of this world and how important it is. What is going on in this world is that we need to learn. And to me, since you asked, what is the most important? Learning how to live on this planet with each other in a way that causes harmony. Now, will that ever really happen? No. No, you're not going to get along with everybody, and it's okay. That's just the way it is with people. But that doesn't mean you and I can't live beautifully and in harmony and in grace with nature and the nature of this world, the nature of this life. That is what is authentically important. And if you fall into the authenticity of this world by understanding the laws that govern this lifetime, then you are in a very unique position. Let me give you some laws. I am finishing a commentary on this, and I've been in a series of commentaries on the process. It's very, very important. I hope that you're reading them, for those of you who are sponsors. And you can get a subscription to the commentaries if you like. It's very inexpensive, and it might serve you well just to do this. One of the first laws is the law of impermanence. Nothing stays the same in this world for long. It's not supposed to. Now, the cycles that we go through in this world of birth and death, of spring, summer, winter, fall, that whole thing, these are cycles that we go through in nature. There's also a rhythm to these cycles, and some of them have to do with the causation of certain things happening in our life. Some people like to call it the law of cause and effect. I don't ascribe to that. There is a cause and there are effects, chain reactions, but people try to manipulate this law of cause and effect, as they call it, to get the whatever it is they want, the quote-unquote greater good for themselves, and that's not how this thing works. If you want to understand the great law of cause and effect, you must understand that everything you do matters. So you have impermanence, the law of cause and effect, and everything you do matters. Everything counts. Everything constitutes the birth and the cycle of something in this world that is set up through impermanence to be there for a while, serve its purpose, and then disappear. Now, you may think, well, that doesn't make any sense, but that's the way it is. You don't fight the laws. You learn to engage them. You learn to imbibe them. You learn to live in them and not fight them and ridicule them or try to change them or whatever. The other law is you must learn your place in this world. If you don't know your place in this world, you won't know the meaning of your life. What is your place in this world? What is it? What are you here for? Now, this is a very difficult thing for people to understand, because your place in this world is how you live in this world, and obviously, what most people expect to have in this world. But I'm saying it goes deeper than that. If I know my place in this world, I can work out my karma. If I want more than my place in this world, then I lose the sense and the value of my life. And I merely look at my life and think, I could do better, I should be doing better, I should get more, la la. You're maybe not here in this world to get all those things right now. Maybe there is something very profound for you to learn, something for you to awaken to that is essential to your awakening, because that's what we're here to do, awaken. If you're willing to understand all of that and you can perceive past the idea of good and bad and right and wrong, you'll come to a place where you find what is most important for you, which is love. Yes, it is love that heals. It is love that supplies all of this. It is love that is the very essence of it all. The essential essence of it all. And that's what we're here to do, to drop human love for the sake of love, real love, authentic love. So, Jess, that's in a nutshell, in 8 minutes, what I can give you. And it's important because if you do not find the practice of love, the practice of living in love, the practice of kindness, you will miss. And a spiritual practice is essential in all of this. You can't do it without a spiritual practice, an authentic one, not a philosophy, not a religion, but an authentic spiritual practice. Jesse, I gotta run. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Darren in Los Angeles. Why, Greg, do we not seem to advance in this world, either sociologically or, as you would put it, spiritually? I don't understand, Darren. Our sociology is ridiculous. Honestly, it is. It is changing and constantly changing due to the whims of the society that we live in. And that's just the way it is. We have these whims that society has, and we kind of live in those whims. And we don't mature, we don't grow in them, we don't do anything, we just kind of do our thing, as it were. And our culture, well, we don't have any, really. I don't think in the West we have very much culture, if any at all. But in society, the order of society, we find the order of our preferences only, the things that we deem important. And those things are to make us happy. That's all we want, is to be happy. I have millennials come to me and talk to me from time to time, and all they want is to be happy. They don't see their responsibility in this world. They just want to be happy. Happiness is a quality of consciousness. It has nothing to do with what pleasures us and pleases us. If I do not achieve a sense of consciousness, I will never, ever be happy. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems very clear to me in my life. Happiness is not the pleasuring thing and having a carefree life and everything's going to work out. It's more about finding that which sustains life itself and how to live in harmony with that. And that's an energy. That's not something you can teach a person. It's not a thought. It's not a thing. It's an energy. And should you have that energy, that which you have that lives within you, if you have that, you will always be happy. If you don't have that thing, that quality of consciousness, you'll never be happy, no matter what you get in this world. So it goes on and on and on in this way. We think we know what we want. We think we know what will make us happy. And what we are finding out now is that what has made us happy has also begun the subtle destruction of our planet. We want sex. We want money. We want family. We want stuff. And all of that stuff and sex and family deteriorates this earth. Each year it gets hotter and hotter. And why? Because there are too many people on the planet. But people want to be happy, so they make babies recklessly, irresponsibly. And there you are. It gets worse and worse and worse. And it isn't going to stop, because we won't stop. So when you're talking about sociology, you're talking about the trends, the behaviors of human beings. And culturally, they have a little bit of an attachment to refinement, but not much. In our society, it is all about get, grab, have. Get yours before somebody else does. We believe in certain forms of limitation that deteriorate our entire life. We don't believe in compassion, forgiveness, unconscionable generosity. We don't do that. That's not our deal. That's not something we really believe in. What we believe in is in only what our idealism of what we want. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, you know, until a person is willing to examine their life and have a close sense of examination, Darren, in their life about how they live, who they are, going into the self and then beyond the self, there isn't going to be any real change. Not in this world, not in this life. There won't be. We will live according to the manner of our desires, our pride, our ambition, that whole thing. And what good is that? You know, to a lot of people, that's all there is. I'm amazed when I look out into the world and I listen to people talk and tell me about their lives. There's no self-exploration. There's no self, well, I don't want it to sound egotistical, but there's no self-examination at all. We merely go through the motions of getting what we want and self-righteousness. Most people are only interested in self-righteousness. That's it. It doesn't go any deeper. It doesn't go any further. Self-righteousness over and over and over again. And because we live in self-righteousness, and this is the only means to the end to us, we live selfishly. And we find the earth responding to that with heat and all sorts of ugly things that go on here that are very painful. And we just don't change them. We don't see any reason to change them, and we don't change them. Very sad. Very sad indeed. Darren, you got to let love live you. And if you really want an answer to your question, you're going to have to do some self-examination. And then without criticism, without judgment, you're going to have to eventually enter into something more profound than probably what you've lived with most of your life. Just the thought. I hope that helps you. I'm sure it didn't. Please forgive me. Namaste. answering questions like this. Very hard to, know who your audience is when someone asks you a question, but it's pretty universal how we are living our lives detached. As long as I have what I want, no one else matters. That's our attitude. Last question from Taylor in California. That's all this person. I don't know if Taylor's a guy or a girl, so I'm going to assume it's a guy, okay? What is this forgiveness thing you do at the end of everything you do? Seems weird to me and weak. Taylor. Taylor, I'm asked this all the time, and I've done it for, 35 years. Please forgive me. It's a very important thing that I do when I say that. It's not about weakness. It's about humility. I'm always suspect of myself as a person watching how I phrase things, teach things. I always am concerned about misunderstandings that people will have and my ability to deliver an answer, a teaching in its most authentic form. And there's a lot of things that pertain to how I teach that I have no control over. How you hear things, the way you listen, what your background is, what genetics you work from, things like that. I have no control over any of that. So when I say at the end of everything, please forgive me, I'm asking for your kindness. I'm asking for your compassion. I'm asking that you listen to me in a way in which helps you sustain the answer and forgive my clumsiness and my ineptness to answer your question. I also don't want to slaughter the principles here that I'm talking about that are very important. I really don't. So, sometimes I ask for forgiveness to the gods, as it were. That they forgive me for being inept at times or maybe wrong. I'm not the last word on everything. So if I am wrong, I want you to understand I didn't do this or say what I said to you in any form of trying to manipulate you or give you the impression that I'm the last word. So it's a point of humility for the humiliation of having to teach. And at times it can be very humiliating. But it is what it is, and I've learned a great deal from teaching. So I'm always looking at it from the point of view, if what I've given you is not helping you or is wrong, please forgive me. If I'm giving you something that is helping you, again, forgive me. Because eventually what I'm teaching you is going to become obsolete and I'm going to have to teach you something different. And it may be totally different than what I taught you in the first place. That's just the way it works. And that's part of the teachings. That's a part of living here on the planet. Everything functions for a while and then it doesn't anymore. It becomes something else. So I'm actually looking at everything from the point of view from A to Z, and I'm saying to you, this must be very hard to hear. This must be very insulting at times. This must be very confusing. This must challenge your mental acuity. And for all those things that it does, I ask, please forgive me. So there you are, Taylor. And by the way, please forgive me, eh? Namaste. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. I hope you'll join me. Please forgive me. Namaste.